Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all review a Chilean Pinot Noir not named Apatagua by Bodega Monsecano Refugio. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy. And tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
You can refer to me as Ambassador Unlicensed Taxi Driver, the ambassador to Chile.
Are you? I'm pretty sure you'll be recalled. Nevertheless, also on the show is the Triple B.
Good evening.
Yes.
You know what I just noticed?
What?
That when we do our scoring, I go first.
Yes, you do.
But when you do introductions, I go last.
That's because I save the best for last.
Except in scores, you save yourself as the best for last?
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah.
That's interesting. Uh-huh. Isn't that interesting?
I just think it's habitual, that's all.
Just what it is. Regardless, on the show tonight, folks, we have a Chilean Pinot Noir. You heard it on the intro. Obviously, it's a little redundant for us to drink another Pinot Noir from Chile, but we like Pinot Noir from Chile, and we have new...
And it's our show.
It's our show, and we'll drink Pinot if we want to.
Well, but Chile's been rocking it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have been.
And even off-air, I found a little source for the little Chilean things from Colchagua. Again, $10, $11 cab Calcu. Well, maybe we'll have that on the show.
Yes.
And I inadvertently picked up a Cab Franc. It was fantastic.
Well, tonight we don't have things from Maipo or Colchagua. We have it from Casablanca Valley, which is more coastal, but not too far from Maipo and San Antonio Valley. But this is Bodega Monsecano Refugio, and it's their Pinot Noir offering. They have a website. Check them out. But Bodegas Monsecano and Casablanca, for that matter. Casablanca Valley, known for, well, good at making Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc, and Pinot Noir. That's basically what they do. Pinot Noir closer to the coast because it's a cooler climate.
Sure.
Yeah, you know? This wine, some facts and figures.
On, you need to read?
Oh, I was just going to say it's on stainless steel and concrete egg. Yes. But we'll get to the reviews. We'll get to the details, the nitty gritty. After we get back from the break. But it's very exciting that we're doing this wine tonight. It does have some great reviews. It is a nice package. It looks like an interesting offering. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's $22 of the money.
$23 of your dollars, yes. On wine.com. Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit pricey. So this is a premium Chilean offering.
Ooh. He said that with a little cheeky smile, folks.
I know.
So interesting.
There's several we've liked. We obviously enjoy Apatagua.
Mm-hmm.
But Becky and I, we've enjoyed one called Leda quite a bit. And Leda is back in stock.
Oh.
Mm.
Leda, they do good stuff.
I feel like lately we've been able to buy a bottle of something we like, and then it goes out.
It goes off, yeah.
Like, what did you have last night?
Oh, what was that? It's Chateau La Bastienne. It's a satellite Saint-Emilion from Montage or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's like $17. It is fucking great. Had it with some takeout from the refectory. So it was exquisite. The wine, though, Becky and I both said, "Why the hell would you ever buy anything from California? You can drink that."
So good. It has the like weightiness that you get sometimes on like a really nice wine. It was mocha.
Mm-hmm.
What else did you say?
Oh, best expression of cassis in a long time. The nose of just straight black licorice and just...
But it's already gone.
What?
It's already unavailable.
It's unavailable currently, yeah. Shakespearean Phil and Cindy, don't call me Cynthia, they had a bottle of the Chateau La Roche, which, you know, obviously I like that quite a bit. They flipped over it. They said it was amazing. Of course it is. I mean, the canner told us so. So, folks, we're going to take a break. And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care, but your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. And we're back, folks. One thing I forgot to mention is tonight on the Potpourri, we're going to have a battle of wits.
Oh, I forgot.
We're going to have, it's the return of Pro V Con here on the show, folks. So Scott versus the Triple B in Pro V Con, Scott's least favorite game.
Do we pick him out of a?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
You do.
I'm kind of in a mood, so we'll see how this goes.
And just to remind you of the rules on Pro V Con, because I'll have to remind you again once we get to the Potpourri, you have to declare Pro V Con before you take the subject out of there. And it's all new subjects. Very exciting. Some are very provocative and controversial.
Where'd you put the thing? You kept like gesturing up there.
I've just thrown my hands around.
Yeah, okay.
So, the Monsecano Refugio. Monsecano Refugio. I'll say it 50 times and I'll be able to say it. We're going to go over to Triple B because she has some reviews for the wine.
Do you want me to read the little description first?
Sure.
Okay. This 100% biodynamic, hand-harvested, single-vineyard Pinot Noir is aged and fermented completely in stainless steel and concrete egg. The wine shows bright raspberry, strawberry jam with rose petals, violets, and a light component of baking bread. Does that mean yeasty?
No, it's baking bread. It is not. It's rose water.
Okay. The wine is extremely vibrant with a light, glassy, soft, and smooth mid-palate. Glassy?
Sure, why not?
The light tannin cradles the wine and lends itself to the refreshing acidity with a long jam-influenced finish. Minus the light component of
What?
Did you just taste it?
No, I'm smelling it. I'm not tasting it.
So we do have a couple of reviews. The winemaker's notes say dark ripe cherry and black fruits jump out of the glass with underlying raspberry fruit notes. A condensed and dark spiraling mid-palate shows layers of minerality and complexity with hints of wet crushed rock, granite, sage, clove, and blueberry. Rich full fruit, mineral driven with a long, generous, smooth finish. That sounds like perfection, doesn't it?
Yes.
It really does.
Mm-hmm.
So it's received some critical acclaim. Robert Parker gave it a 94.
94 of Robbie's points. That's a plethora of points.
He says it follows the line of the 28 Monsecano. Is that how we're saying that
Monsecano, yeah.
It is fresher and from a cooler vintage when the grapes were picked a little less ripe and the maceration was shortened. The nose is spectacular. A mix of wild herbs, flowers, and berries, some rose petals, and even a touch of citrus peel, coming through as aromatic and fresh. The palate is perhaps a tad lighter than previous vintages and perhaps a little more natural, in air quotes. But it is very good complexity, has very good complexity, developing aromas of violets with time in the glass, and has lots of freshness and balance.
What do you think you meant by it's a little more natural? A little less influenced by the oak?
Well, there is no oak.
Okay. Well, what's the issue? Meant,
like a little more natural in air quotes, like dirt.
I think he means a little more. Rustic. You know, feral in a certain sense. And yes, this is James Suckling. I did not review this wine. However, I am fond of the reviewer that did review this wine, Tim Atkins. He doesn't have an actual impression voice on this show. I'm drooling.
Corner of your mouth. Yes, oh, corner of your mouth.
I'm sorry. That's from earlier. Anyway, Refugio is the cheaper of the two Monsecano Pinots.
It's a doozy.
And is sourced from Julio Donzo's vineyards. I became Spanish suddenly. Yeah. And those of his uncle, fermented in concrete eggs with 30% whole bunches. It has savory, slightly feral palate with some spritz, juicy red berry fruit, and fine grain tannins, 20 to 22. That's
barrel?
Actually his locker combination. It has nothing to do with the wine.
Well, it's like how he logs into his iPhone.
Yes. Tim, don't do that.
That's a crappy review for a 90.
What?
I mean, it's two sentences long.
Well, he can't read that write that
it's
much.
Really crappy.
He's basically illiterate. I wrote that for
saying
him.
It has a slightly feral palate.
Yes.
Does it make anybody want to drink it?
Tim Atkins reviewing it doesn't make anybody want to drink it. In fairness, this is the first time anyone has ever heard Tim Atkins review. Ever.
I've heard his name before.
Yeah, but this review.
Oh.
I mean. So.
On the nose, I mean, there's some other stuff going on, but I definitely, I can smell the menthol big time in it. Do you smell that? Like, when I stick my nose in it, I get like a definite Vicks.
Well, there's an element, but a lot of that is
not,
the...
I mean, I'm not saying it's overpowering or whatever. I just can smell it.
But one more comment on the reviews. When you look historically at this, it's getting in the 90s, mm-hmm. you know, back yeah. to back to back years.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, a vineyard only planted in 2006. Small lot, 6 acres in total.
Mm-hmm.
That is small.
Yeah.
We have five, so it's, I mean...
It's 1,300 cases. That's the case production on it.
Yeah.
So that's 12 bottle cases, mind you. So, yeah, the nose, though.
It looks like a Pinot.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And a lot of tartaric acid crystalline.
Yeah,
so you'd expect it to be a little
I don't believe
acidic.
I would doubt, though, that they would overly filter this wine, too. So you could have a little bit of that.
I think it's completely unfiltered.
Yeah. So there you go, too. So.
Yeah. Looks the part.
The nose, you can smell sticks and twigs and leaves. And I mean, the forest floor is there,
mm-hmm.
Along with a lovely streak of herbaceousness. But it smells mossy. It smells peaty.
Yeah.
Before
I really swirled it in my glass, I definitely got like a citrus note to it. But
sure.
Now that I've swirled mm-hmm. it, I can't find it again.
Well, right on the tip end, you get a little bit. Yes. You get that little bit, like they said, orange peel, just right on the tip end.
I think it's there with like unripened strawberry, kind of.
Something like that.
The idea of a Pinot that has like that earthy element.
Is
exciting. I hope it translates into the glass.
And it's earthy, herby, but it's not really that Pinot funk completely.
Mm-mm.
It's soft. It's a soft, earthy component, not that Pinot
well,
funk
it doesn't
that
smell like
love.
It's not barnyard. It's
no.
not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's more mossy, peaty. I mean, aromas of, you know, river rock, moss, peat, I mean, that kind of smell.
That's slight, a good point,
not musty, but down that road in a clean way.
It's a really balanced nose.
Mm-hmm. And just maybe just a little bit of floral element that holds it all together and gives it a little bit more polish.
Yeah, so. I'm glad you said that, Scott. That's a great point. I don't smell anything like a mushroom or anything like that in this. It's earthy, but I don't smell anything mushroom.
Yeah, that's not really the focus of it, mm-hmm. is it? No.
It's not the classic Pinot funk mm-hmm. completely overblown. Mm-hmm.
But nothing else is going to smell like this other than
but
a Pinot.
But it's not. You know this is a Pinot Nose.
Oh yeah, it's a right proper lovely nose.
Ready to sip.
We're drinking tonight from a specialty Riedel line that's available at the Target. Encanta, is that correct? Am I saying that appropriately?
Mm-hmm. It was available on the Target. I believe that line has been discontinued.
Oh, damn it.
It's now at Home Goods.
Yes, now it's at discount stores.
But it's a slightly narrower opening than the traditional Pinot glass is how I describe it. But it's bulbous. It's a Pinot glass. You know what it is.
It's a good standard Pinot glass.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. First of all, This wine, you know, when you take, when you taste it, this wine costs a lot more. It is not in a Californian style Pinot. No one's ever going to mistake it from that. This is Burgundian, good Burgundian. It has a lovely, the main thing, the acidity is what's really framing this wine.
Yep.
But it's a smooth acidity, so it's never bitey, it's never spritzy. But everything that is there is all mineral-driven. There is some subtle cherry. There's mushroom on the palate. All that funk, that earth, is all there. And it almost has a lovely, I don't know what you'd call it, the way that it curls your palate. So it almost goes across your tongue, around the roof of your mouth, and comes down and just kind of accentuates itself very interestingly.
You know, this is a wine that I think for different folks with different palates, you could pick a different star of the show. It's almost like a sporting event where it was a real team effort and you could pick out multiple stars. Like the thing that impressed me the most about this that, in my first draw, the tannic structure. It's perfect for an Unoaked Pinot. Perfect. Now, it's not big burly. You're not going to age this for 20 years.
No.
But
because it's lighter.
I love the tannins in this.
Yeah.
The tannins are very nice. The finish is excellent.
Really subtle finish, I'm going to say.
Well, yeah, but the tannins hit right in the back part of the palate, mid to back tongue. And it kind of dries out a little bit, but it shows so many lovely little things. Most of it, obviously, it's all savory. But savory, herbaceous, and mineral-driven. Mm-hmm. With a little bit of earth. The earth, the barren earth is there. You have dried leaves. You have a little sun-dried tomato. You have a lot of those things that you're going to see with that different style. If you like Wente's Riva Ranch Pinot, probably won't like this.
Yeah.
That's okay. Two different styles of Pinot.
Something that I was thinking about is this is a pretty light-bodied Pinot.
Yeah.
But it still has quite a bit of flavor in different flavors in it.
Depth of flavor.
Yeah.
Depth of flavor.
That's a great way to say it. It has quite a bit of depth of flavor to it. Mm-hmm. And it also really captures the elegance of Pinot in a really, really nice way. The elegance piece, you don't always find that in a Pinot. But when you do, it's like why it's why you search for a Pinot like this.
One little thing, at least I picked this out. There's just a tease of sweet fruit at the front, like a ripe blueberry, but it's just a tease.
Mm-hmm. And it goes away quickly.
It goes away quickly, yep. But
it readies to carry you for that
acidity. Yes, readies you for that acidity.
Mm-hmm. And this would never be mistaken for anything other than Pinot Noir.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't be.
Because we've played the guess this game, I was trying to decide how you would get to Chile. I don't know, because it's so heavily influenced.
Well, first of all, you know it's expensive.
Yeah.
But it doesn't come across very Cali.
But $23, really, you know.
It drinks more than that.
It does drink more than that. But realistically, this is really a lot of wine for $23.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
It's a ton of wine for $23, but it doesn't taste like an expensive Californian.
No,
Because they're bigger. Yeah. They're bigger wines. Same thing with Oregon, too.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to go to France. And then you're going to say, you know.
But that's what I was thinking about, because the natural part is there, but I don't know, maybe the absence of the Pinot Funk would lead me somewhere else. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get that. That's fair.
Oh, but it's funky, though.
It doesn't have it on the nose.
That's funky. I mean, that is funk. The majority of wine drinkers that are casual drinkers would wonder what the hell we're talking about right now. They'd say, my God, that tastes like dirty feet. That's what they would say.
It does.
Where's my jam jar?
Even that part of this wine, it's not as it's not that oppressive Pinot that we love, that barnyard that we love.
There are very few that do barnyard.
Right.
I mean, they just don't do it. And this is as close. This is, honestly, when we're thinking back at barnyard, I've had barnyard. We haven't had barnyard on the show. Barnyard is rough. This is about as barnyardy as you're going to get. This is more, there's no sty in this barnyard, but this is the woods next to the farm. I mean, it tastes like the woods. It tastes like nature. It tastes like everything that's out there. There's a raccoon running across. Oh, is that the one that got in the Oreos earlier? Little fucker. It just tastes like a magnificently small production wine. But it isn't huge. And it isn't huge in body. It's huge in flavor, though.
Yeah, but I like how Scott said the depth.
Well,
the
yeah, but just lightness, I mean, mm-hmm. mouth, you know, weight on the palate doesn't necessarily have to equate to depth. I mean, they should still be deep, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, what's the biggest component of this? Nothing. It was the acidity that goes all the way through, but you can't say this is racing acidity. It's not big acidity. It's not, it's just nice, balanced acidity throughout.
It's exactly what it needs to be. It's balanced. It's a balanced wine.
Probably one of the more balanced wines we've had in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I hear that it's not oaked, it just makes my eyebrows raise a little bit. I get it.
Especially at 23.
Yeah, I get it. Well, this is fantastic.
I know.
It doesn't need the oaking.
But it is for more the, what's the word, ham radio enthusiast kind of drinker. It is. And that's fine.
Okay, sure.
What, the NPR list.
Explain that.
You have to be a little
NPR
bit
listener to you ham radio operator, that's a big jump.
Whatever. You drink because you find it interesting, not because you like the way it feels or the way it tastes. You want it to be interesting. You want it to make you think, which is a good thing, I think. Okay. I think it's great.
All right.
I'm all those things.
That's the ham radio.
Kind of. I talk like this. It's very interesting. I like it. It tastes like, taste the leaves.
I love Pinot, and I just wrote down that this isn't my favorite Pinot style.
Oh.
I can certainly see its merits and appreciate it, but this isn't... this wouldn't make me into a Pinot drinker.
Oh, sure.
But
it wouldn't.
It's still really nice, and you can tell that it's very good. I think it's, for me, I would classify it in the, like, expanding my horizons, wine horizons category.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I took a drink of it, I was like, oh, they're going to love. I knew that you two would like it a lot.
It's like the 500 level class. You're like, huh.
Oh, so I'm on the what?
But I don't understand why.
The 075.
I guess.
Remedial.
Why isn't this for you, I guess?
She didn't say it wasn't for her.
Yes, I did say that. It's not what my favorite you meant style. Was... Oh, yeah. Please tell me. It's just not my favorite style. I like more floral Pinots. I like Pinots that have some like more fruit in them.
Fair enough.
New Zealand.
Yeah, I do. I like everything New Zealand makes, I feel like. Well,
Leda, you like Leda. Leda is a little bit more the New Zealand style. This is just taking it down that road a little further.
The earthy part of it just isn't my favorite thing at all, but I can appreciate this for sure. I was thinking about 2 years ago, if I would have been able to drink this at all.
No.
You know?
Oh, God, no. No.
Yeah.
But Pinot became one of your favorites as your palate changed, you know? And, you know, anything that was on the oakier side just wasn't for you.
Yeah.
That's not the case anymore. It's just
very smooth.
Able to get past that. And
by the way, if it goes down the wrong pipe, it hurts like a motherfucker.
Yeah.
I'm fine now.
Granted, we've had a lot of bad, really overly oaked wines that cause you to push back from the table.
Here's a question. I don't know if you know this or not. I don't know it straight off. Do you know which Pinot kind of changed your mind about Pinot? Was it Love Block? I don't think so.
I think Love Block was the one that cemented it, but was the one that
I don't know, but I see where you're at, because you don't like the Jadot's Bourgogne, like that the French little $20 one, and I do.
It seems like Martin Ray was after Love Block for you.
Yeah, Martin Ray was after Love Block. You'd already liked it. Martin Ray's very good. Their Pinot. Their Cab isn't very good, but their Pinot's good.
I know. I'm trying to remember what would have been.
I don't know. Maybe it was McManus. It's so undervalued.
It is very undervalued.
It is. Oh, isn't it? I don't know. I'm looking up there. I mean, you like Flavian, but you've liked Pinots before that.
I think. Oh,
that's
no.
That's not Pinot.
Mary Edwards.
Mary Edwards helps, but that's okay.
But no, I think. I think that's it. I think.
Stop it, Bo.
Bo is attacking.
Bo is
my bad leg.
He's yeah.
He knows it's weak. Well, it's like saying though, Scott. I love driving. Oh, what was the first car you drove? I drove a Ferrari. Oh, right. Okay. It's like how did he like the Kia? Sounds great. You know, and maybe it was the Mark West she drank.
Yeah. That's what I would say it is.
What, Mark West?
No, Mary Edwards.
Oh, okay. Well, no. I doubt that. No.
I don't know.
I mean, Mary Edwards made everybody like Pinot.
Yeah.
Well, there's that.
I mean, it's different. She never had, you liked
but
the Rodney Strong Russian River a lot. You didn't drink it on the show. That was back when.
I was going to say it was something that occurred kind of off air.
I think so.
That you guys had some Pinots, and we did buy that Rodney Strong for a little while there when we had some source where we were getting a good price on that.
And it was one of those times where you drank it and you go, oh yeah, you have that when you like it. But like that that Bordeaux we did last night, it just hits you right. And who would think? I mean, I just think back. I mean, not that you didn't like wines, you like Zin, and you like Zin, you like cabs. But mostly Cali stuff and expensive.
It's Sauvignon Blanc.
And Sauvignon Blanc. Those are the things you like. And expensive. You like Mary Edwards Sauvignon Blanc. And Kimmy Crawford. And Love Block. And then expensive Cab. And Zins. They were expensive. Yeah. Basically, you, Scott. That's all you liked. So I haven't tried an old Chats enough on you. But I think that if you drink this, you drink that. Not that we would want to split that way, but...
So you should do it now, and I can only drink a drop.
They don't know why, though.
Mm, it's okay. Mm. There's a couple reasons why.
That's true. She has psoriasis of the liver. So, folks,
psoriasis.
It's called cirrhosis.
Oh, that too. She has itchy skin.
I don't have psoriasis or cirrhosis.
She does. She has psoriasis of the liver. It's fucked up, folks. It is cirrhosis, isn't it? I should ask Steve. He has it. Anyway, that's why. It's right.
Ow.
That's right. I bet that's itchy. Anyway, folks, we're going to take a break because then the Triple B and Scott.
I can't believe you said that about me.
Itchy and scratchy.
I was trying to cover for you. They're going to come back and they're going to have a battle of pro v con, and Scott's going to cheat and lose here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody. It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, on the potpourri, we have Pro V Con. Two titans of intellect.
Yeah.
Well, one titan of intellect going against each other.
I have to pick because sometimes I don't know the ones you put in there.
So, Becky says she wants to go first. Now, before you touch, are you going to be... being pro?
I'll be pro.
Pro. Okay, select one. I think you should know all the ones in here. Here we go. The first category is
Barefoot Contessa.
Barefoot Contessa, folks. So you have to be Con Barefoot Contessa.
I actually wish I was Con. And I know you wish you were pro, don't you?
Well, yeah.
Now, just to remind you folks, they are going to provide arguments. Becky has to be pro barefoot, and Scott has to be con barefoot. And I will subjectively and reasonably judge their arguments, debate style, and provide between 1 and 5 points. The person after 5 rounds who has the most points is the winner. So... Becky right now is compiling her thoughts. Anytime you would like to start, you may start. Then Scott will respond. Remember, there are no rebuttals because that could go on all night.
Okay. So I have the pro Barefoot Contessa.
You do.
So I will start with she is definitely a... she's a little bit arrogant, but I know that's why you all like her. It's because, like that, what's the dish you make? Turnips? No. Carrot what?
I'm not here to assist.
Whatever. Anyways, the dish that you make is a little bit of an arrogant dish. I just can't remember what it is.
Split pea soup.
It's like a little bit more than just like what you make on a Monday night. I think that she makes a lot of elegant dishes. And she always has like a really nice rustic-y type menu with a really nice elegant flair to it, like crusty bread. I feel like she always has. She's always so excited to make food for her friends and her husband. And the other thing that I really, I did really like about her is she a little bit lost her shit like we all did during the pandemic. And she was doing an episode where, I think I sent it to you all, where she was making Cosmos, I think. Do you remember? And she had, like, instead of making a portion for herself, she made a portion that was, like, that huge tumbler. Yes. Do you remember that?
Yes, yes.
It was, like, enough for, you know, a party of 50 people. But I just thought that whenever that went viral of her making that giant Cosmos stash, it really... it made her very human, and I think it really, like, gave people a lot to laugh about because we were all having a hard time, and she just, you know, made light of it in such a funny way, which is, humor's not really her shtick, but I thought she did a great job with it.
Hmm. Well done. Well done. Now, Con Scott.
The Barefoot Contessa.
Mm-hmm. Is the epitome
of elitistness. It's bourgeois.
Elitistness?
Yes.
Is that a word?
Elitistness.
Oh, there we go. Bourgeois.
It's very bourgeois. Oh. Very upper class. Very Long Island. Not about you. Not for the common people. And quite frankly, the oversized Cosmo... really was a copycat. Everybody was doing big size cocktails, and you know, she just doesn't do normal people obnoxiousness. She's obnoxious enough on her own. The dishware, the silverware, the Long Island of it all.
You know, I think you're being a little bit of a racist right now.
Racist?
Yeah, towards Long Islanders.
Raisinist?
Something like that.
No. Actually, New York City's in the house. It's hard for me to speak poorly of the Barefoot
Contessa. Yes, they're our number one market, dickhead.
I truly love the Barefoot Contessa, and I bow out. Oh. I love her show. I love her. She's...
Yeah, we know you do.
What I like about her...
No, we don't need to know that. No,
in a very layman way.
No, we don't want to know.
She puts together dishes that, you might never even think of doing them, but she puts them together in a way that everybody can approach.
Hmm.
Simple, not too complex in what she does.
It's the same thing.
Simple. And I love the Barefoot Contessa. Now Joffrey, that son of a bitch. I can't stand him.
Yeah.
Making time with my girl like that. He's very calm. Now Joffrey, I don't like that guy.
Well, that was
good. I don't trust him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't trust that Joffrey.
Yeah, he's
I question his loyalty sometimes. That Joffrey's a no good. I don't trust him. He's got those beady eyes, those little beauty eyes.
What do you think he brings to the table?
I wonder.
We should have done a pro v con of Joffrey.
Who says it's not in there?
Did you?
No. Or did I? So, that was round number one, folks. So, on to round number two. Scott, will you be pro or con?
I'm going
to
be pro.
You're going to be pro. He's going to pull it out here. And what is the category?
My wine buying talent.
Scott's wine buying talent.
Listen, my wine buying talent.
That you were not. Wait a second. Hold on. You were. You did not have a nice look on your face when you read that. That's all I
and
care
I have
about.
To be con.
Man, my wine buying talent is renowned. I have the ability to bring stars to the show that even when they're bad, that's what the show's all about, us drinking bad wine. Many of our listeners love when we torture one of my bad selections. And it's no real secret that sometimes I buy the bad stuff on purpose. But you know, I also bring some star quality to the show. Some of the selections, you know, we've just had so many good choices from the Grape and Grain and from the Twisted Vine, and you know,
anything
some
else?
Of the other selections I brought to the show. Well, I stand.
Do
by
you have
my,
any specifics, perhaps?
Well,
I'm a loss for
the Dry Creeks of the world.
Dry Creeks. What did you buy?
The Ravenwood selection.
I bought Ravenswood. I told you what Ravenswood was. What did you buy?
No, I bought the Ravenswood. I found
one?
The Medicino.
The Medicino. As you
Medicino.
Said. You bought it twice, as a matter of fact.
Well,
so nice you bought it twice.
I love it twice.
Henceforth, your wine buying skills. Okay. Anything else?
The White Coat.
Okay.
My obsessive nature with Turley. I bring things that, you know.
You did bring Hecula.
Hecula, Hotelion. You know, over the years, I've brought some wonderful things to the show.
If only you would have mentioned those points.
I believe that it's the poor choices that make my talent the rising star.
Oh.
The ability for material for the show.
Oh, okay. All right. Now on to Becky for con.
So I have just a couple of cons. One was when you went to Total Wine and you bought like everything they had. That was a little
similar
bit
to how Rob did that.
No,
I didn't. Oh, I know. That would be another major con, was telling Rob about Total Wine and all the wine they had so that he would also go there when we were on vacation. Spend half a day there.
I was at Total Wine before. Scott's ever been at Total Wine?
Yeah, but you brought it to new heights. You had a time limit. You had a time restriction put on your Total Wine.
You done. Should have had a time restriction put on your time. Should I buy the Artois Fall or Samuel Robert? Go ahead.
Samuel Robert, we love.
So, sometimes we get a little bit backlogged with bad wine, and we have to drink two in one night, which is rough on all of us.
It is.
Like, do a comparison between two bad ones. That's hard. The only other bad wine that, like, really stuck out to me was when you brought I Love Pizza. And it wasn't even really that bad. It was just so funny.
Unfortunately, I bought that.
You bought I Love Pizza?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Why did you buy I Love Pizza?
Because it said I Love Pizza. And it was
$6. God. I was trying to think of the, like...
Yeah, you'd lose a point for that.
I was trying to think of the, like... best worst wine, and I thought I was going to say I Love Pizza for Scott, and then I was going to give us a combo of cat wine.
I bought that too
because I told you to buy cat wine.
That's true.
So, anyways, that's all I have.
Okay. So on to round number three. Triple B, are you going to be pro or con?
I'll be Khan.
Khan. What?
Andre.
Andre, folks. Andre sparkling wines from California.
Was it considered a sparkling wine or was it considered a carbonated?
Well, I'm talking about just Andre in general. It doesn't have to be in the can. It could be in one of their glass bottles. Okay. Ergo, it would be sparkling. It probably still carbonated in the bottle.
You know, there's nothing better than the nostalgia.
Is it?
Of the 60s and 70s TV commercials for the entire Andre champagne.
You surely line. Couldn't have meant drinking it.
You know, the elegance of it. the sheer, utter, pompous nature of
you're pro 70s this shit. You got to be pro
advertising.
You got to be pro Andre.
I'm being pro.
It's oh, you're going pro first. That. Oh.
Yeah, there's nothing more contagious and obnoxiousness of the Andre cold duck line.
Are you suggesting that it has some sort of vintage roundabout hipster quality to it?
Well, hipster obnoxious.
I mean, you know.
Pompous.
You get some sort of points for that. Because you are pro Andre, for Christ's sake.
There's nothing else there, folks. But it's actually, it's quite comical. Go back and Google the Andre ads. The stars, the superstars of the era that promoted it.
But that was Martini and Rossi, though, wasn't it?
Andre, too.
Oh, wow.
Which was the one that was your voice? Was it Martini?
That was Rossi. There was a Martini and Rossi. No, no, no. It was the Andre. It was the Andre for the Holidays
Act. Oh,
that was
say yes.
That was so funny.
Oh my God,
creepy in your voice.
It's like nobody says
so
yes
that,
to Andre.
That would be a pro. Is that you're still collecting royalties off of that voiceover?
What
word.
About how they have a little slash over the E as if it's French?
Andre.
Yes, I mean that's you should have said that because you would have gotten 2 points for that.
No, that is I'm not pro that. I don't like that.
Well, that's something.
I don't like that part of it.
But on to the triple B for Khan, even though she started it. Scott just couldn't resist.
Okay. So
I thought pro always goes first.
First no. Khan is that it's not really, it's like barely able to be classified as a wine or a carbonated wine beverage. It's so including it in a discussion on the wine vault is a bit of a stretch. Like we could just as well be going over like White Claws or something else.
More like the wine alley.
Yeah. Yes. And then my other con. Yeah. Like the
wine.
Dumpster.
Yes. The wine adult bookstore.
So then.
It's the pothole at the bottom of the ditch.
Yes.
Yeah. In the cardboard box.
The wine triple X movie theater.
So, and my other con is that. For just like sometimes $1 or $2 more, you can get into a real wine category like Cava's. So if you just are totally respect if you're doing budget wines.
Don't look at the score.
Fisheye.
But if you Bag are looking in the under $10 bracket, there are other much more preferable options.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That hurt my heart to say.
Well,
because you know that I love Andre.
Say
the nostalgia.
Yes.
That was so funny.
Oh, God. All right. So on to the fourth round. Scott, pro or con?
Pro. I'm going pro.
Hold on.
Pro. Do three cons.
Okay. Let's be negative. And this one is?
Closeout wines. Yes, 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 yes. You know, there's nothing better about a closeout wine than Rob going into a store and changing some labels.
Oh.
And then I go in and purchase them at the discount price.
You don't get
it's freaking fantastic.
You don't get points
doing
for that.
That
bullshit.
But no, we love closeout wines. Whether it's clearance at your local grocer or, you know, occasionally even at a wine shop, they'll do some closeouts at a wine shop, and that's great value. But we have access to, and I'm sure in your town you've got somebody that just does wine closeouts, and we've had great success there. After we raved and raved and raved about Hecula, our little wine closeout store, the Home Buys, we could get Kate by the case for couple years. It's to the point
now.
You can
still buy it, and you probably shouldn't.
You probably shouldn't. You just pass all that out. It's so good. If you get a bottle that's not spent, it's probably worth it. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
If every other bottle's worth it, is it worth it?
It's fermented twice by now. It just it never was intended. Yes.
Well, but yeah. So wine closeouts. There's a big pro to it, and go through them. There's some risk. It's worth the crapshoot. You know, a wine bottle at a grocer that's been improperly stored upright, that there may be a reason it's in the clearance. So just buyer beware. But, you know, we can get something at 40% off, 50% off. It allows you to get into a market of wine that you might not normally spend. Use a wine app, wine.com. There's different wine apps. We like wine.com. You put it in there, it tells you about the wine and put you in a market for wines that you might not otherwise spend.
You could look up Clio Cabernet on Vivino if you wanted to.
Ooh.
You could. So on to Cannes. Becky has been given a rough hand on this one.
Well, I feel like I have some decent arguments here.
Oh, okay. Good.
So first, Scott touched on them a little bit, but one of them is that we'll sometimes see things that are on closeout or heavily discounted that are actually the normal price. So you'll see something where you think it's marked off $10, but it's not. That's just the price it goes for.
Kroger's
infamous for it.
So it's 30% off the full retail price, which is the regular price.
So I think that you have to be careful when you're doing closeout wine shopping, because Kroger and other retailers know people are looking for a deal and mark it up only to mark it down.
Also, the people that mark those things down are stupid. There you go. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know that that's not a good price.
You absolutely know what you're doing when you go in there and you stick that sticker on there and then I go buy it later.
So
I love when you do that.
I think that you also sometimes, when you're drinking something that's on closeout, you find out why it was put on closeout. Maybe it was an off year. It wasn't stored properly, whatever the situation is, but you're like, oh, that's the reason why it was on sale. The other con, minus Scott's criminal record now for lifting a bottle of wine, is...
I wasn't the one that changed the price tag.
We've also gotten into the spot where we found a bottle of wine on closeout, been super jazzed about it, and then unable to buy anymore, which is a huge bummer, and we find that happening more and more.
Well done, both of you. Excellent job on that one. Yeah. That was the best you've both ever
done. That's a good category.
That's good.
We love closeout wines, folks.
Then on to the last round, folks. Becky, pro or con?
I feel like I'm just going to stick
pro or cons. Con?
Yeah.
You did well last time.
French oak.
French oak.
Well, as the pro, I'm going to go first. There is no... This is so easy.
You keep
this
picking
is
con, by the way. I don't know why you do that.
Well, I was going to say maybe next French time the person that puts them in the basket could pick something oak. That's a bit more of neutral.
I put them in the basket or you'll get the hose again.
Hey, French oak is the standard. There's no other oaking to be had. French oak is the standard. It's, you know, if you want to do it right, French oak it.
What are you
if you
doing?
Want to do it wrong,
do you need
American
to,
oak.
Do you need me to smack you upside the head so you get out of the loop that you're in?
No, it's just it's standard. There's no argument other than pro for French oak.
You see,
whether it's new French oak, used French oak, you know, why do we add American oak? Because we don't want to spend the money on French oak. That's it.
Okay. See, that's classic Scott Pro V Con, where he just shits the bed. Okay, now...
I know that's what it is. Okay. It's so...
You did well.
It's...
Are you sure?
A done deal.
Okay, very good. That's classic Scott. Okay.
This is a hard argument, because, like Scott said, French oak is often the standard.
Is that what he said? Oaking. I missed that.
The only thing that I can find fault with is not actually with the French oak itself, but more the style that the winemaker would use with the French oak. So maybe being too light on the oak or being too heavy-handed, leaving it in too long, which isn't the French oak itself barrel's fault, but is more the winemaker, you could become maybe lazy with your winemaking because you feel like the French oaking will make up for it. That's about all I got.
That sounded a lot more intelligent the way Scott does. So,
there's not a lot of negatives.
There's not a lot of intelligence to say in French oak's the standard, and it's what you need to use. Really, and if you use anything else, it's just a poor substitute. Yeah.
So,
maybe next time I can get Konza oak chips to make up for that.
French oak chips.
So, folks, now the tally. First round was Barefoot Contessa. Becky was pro, Scott was con. Becky went first. Becky made excellent points. I provided her, out of 5 points, I gave her 4 points. Scott was second. I was looking a little bit more for Scott, but then again, he loves her so much.
I do.
And he's so sexually attracted to her. He could not.
And more than one.
He could not aspire to what Becky did. He got 3 of my points. So Becky.
My hatred for Jeffrey, I should have got at least 4.
Is the first round winner. Now, Scott's wine buying talent. Scott actually made some decent points for him. Enough to the fact that he got 3 of my points out of 5.
Boo, _ Russian judge.
Then Becky went con, but just wasn't savage enough. I was looking for the fact that Scott only buys good wines when a man tells him, another different man tells him what to buy. She didn't say any of those things.
Oh, my Lord.
She was too nice. I provided her 2 of my points. Ergo, Scott wins the second round. So now we're at 1-1. On to Andre.
We're at 6-6.
Mm-hmm. But I know, but I'm going by round by round. Not total points
scores. Oh, my gosh.
So, Andre.
He's making up the rules as he goes along, folks.
Yes, I am, because I'm made up this game.
What do you think this is, Electoral College?
It could be. Scott was pro Andre. And I did like his retro commercial, I did have to help him along a little bit about
it. Really,
you know,
is
hipsters.
Fun to watch those.
Yes, but nothing about drinking the wine, because what can you say? But nevertheless, I gave Scott 3 out of 5 of my points. And then Becky, she admirably went ahead with Con, even though she loves Andre with all her heart.
She does.
I don't know why.
Well, it's a retro thing.
It's nostalgic for me.
But you mentioned Cava, and then you admitted the fact that it just isn't that much cheaper, and you could not get dysentery by spending $2 more. And you also got 3 of my points. So, round 3.
You're not going to give me a bonus point for talking about something I love in a negative way.
You did. You got 3 points.
But you didn't really talk about it negatively, though.
And that's a draw. So, we're still at 1-1.
That's overscored. Generous.
On to close out wines. Scott, you made a massive amount of excellent points. Yeah. Pointed out many things that were excellent. And I said to myself, that's perfect. And I gave you 5 out of 5 points. Then Becky. Becky pointed out some of the best things. The fact that they mislead the public in the fact that, hey, this is full retail price, but we discounted it by 3 cents. It's a closeout.
Or shit. It's the actual price. What the regular price is.
But then, and she was doing really well, but then I wanted her to make one more point, and guess what, at the very end? She said, we've had closeout wines before that we loved, and they were all gone. We couldn't get it again. That was the last thing I wanted her to say that was great, and she said it. That means Becky also gets 5 out of 5 points. You both were perfect on closeout wines. So last is French oak. Scott? No, I'll start off with Becky. Becky she at least was eloquent. I don't know if anything that she said was correct, but she was eloquent in that.
That's so offensive.
But you sounded like you meant it, which was good. So I provided you 3 out of 5 points.
That's like honestly the best.
Scott?
You could do.
You took a shit in your pants. You talked in a loop. You sounded like
a freaking
Muppet. There's many things you could say.
No.
Yes, you're
it's
pro.
It's the standard.
It's not.
It's unquestioned.
Oh, you retard. So I was generous because I felt bad for you, because I know that you should be smarter than that because you have a driver's license.
Allegedly.
He's unlicensed.
That's a good point. And I had provided you 2 of the points.
Oh, Russian judge.
There go. Becky actually wins once again. Very close. Yay. But
1716.
You done shit the bed, dummy.
Boo.
You're doing well. I was so impressed when you were in closeout
wines. There's nothing to say, but French oak is the standard.
That doesn't work. You have to make an argument. Why is it the standard?
Because it's the best.
Because it is.
Everything else is a poor substitution. I said it.
Why does Harlan and Screaming Eagle...
Why do people use part French oak and part American?
Why does Screaming Eagle and Harlan use American oak?
Because they want to maximize their profit.
No. Because American oak in certain settings is the appropriate oak.
Yeah.
And used American oak, and certain American oaks are less caustic than others. We're always just tasting the shitty American oak from J. Lore.
I didn't know that there were some like Screaming Eagles that used American
oak. Oh, massive. They're trying to big maximize fruit their... wines. That's what you want. Mm. Man, I don't know if you want to drink it, but.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
You say so.
Oh, yeah.
Too bad I didn't know that on mine.
But you still won. Close.
Yeah.
But still.
Sure.
Rousing success, folks.
I have missed this game.
Yes, well, we'll do it again then.
I didn't miss it at all.
I know, because you suck.
It's just, some things are just so...
What?
Cut and dry.
No, they're not. So,
don't need to go ad nauseum.
It's so hard when there's some that are so...
Even Rebecca agreed that French oak is the standard.
Yeah.
And
but she still actually sounded not like a Muppet when she talked.
It's not like a Muppet. You just wanted me to say more stuff.
There's you sounded like fucking said. Beaker.
There's nothing more to be said.
I do feel like the ones this time are so slanted one way or the other that it is very challenging. But
well, trust me. I mean, you said con too many times. Trust me, you might want to still say con because there's going to be some
doozies. Can't wait.
There are some landmines to come, folks. And they're both, let me just say this, Triple B, if she says con sometimes, it's going to be very unhappy eventually in the future.
Well, I was really upset about being negative about Andre.
Well
you weren't negative about Andre. You didn't say a negative thing about it.
You ain't seen nothing yet. You think Andre's sacred? I'm very good at this. So, folks, we're going to take a break. Then we're going to come back and we're going to review I have to look it up again. Monsecano Refugio.
Not good doing honest scoring, though.
You lost, fucker. Here on the Wine Vault. Back, folks. So, the Monsecano Refugio Pinot Noir from Casablanca Valley in Chile. We were talking off air of how I looked fat in a Coors Light t-shirt. Mind you, folks.
I think just to be fair, no one looks good in a Coors Light t-shirt.
No, especially if they're fat. So,
you know, recently we've got some feedback that there's some, that we might be Malbec haters.
Was that like a feedback from a fake email account that I sent you?
No. This is really
because I've done that
feedback
before.
And you know some people.
Was the name Hugh Jazz?
Hugh.
Was it Mike Hunt?
You stop! Don't stop even get it. Started on that route.
Stop
what?
It!
Don't but even get started. On
Michael
that route.
Hunt.
Stop. Here
on okay, the, here he, on... he's a very professional.
Stop.
Jack me
Rob.
Off. Was it Jack me off?
Richard
Hurts.
You haven't said your favorite one yet.
What?
Harry.
Oh, Harry Dick Schlottman.
Harry Dick
was it?
Schlottman.
Was it Harry Dick Schlottman?
That's no. Your favorite.
Listen, jeez. Don't take.
Was
offense.
It Ivana Fock?
Rob.
Well, I'm just asking. If it was, she's Fox. German. Okay, it's don't
Falk.
Oh, it's P H U C K. It's not
Falk.
Why are you always like this? You need to grow up.
That's what she's asking you. Why don't you grow up? No.
I still have to get myself up this.
Do you want
to
hear this story of his? I don't. I'm just trying to interrupt
you. You know, it's curious that...
It's not.
Somehow I have become the arbiter and the betrayer of Malbec lovers around the world. But I've always said,
is that a group?
Like what you like. Yeah, it's a large group.
Is it?
It's a large group. And some of us don't appreciate them. And people are offended. But this is not the first time we've offended by me. Somebody.
My 93, I loved it. And I've bought more Vashleo. So.
Well. Malbec lovers rejoice.
Well, wine.com only let me buy one bottle. But that's
like what you like. That's what I say.
You dipshit. So.
Even if it's Argentinian Malbec.
Over to the Triple B for her review of the.
I love Argentinian
Monsecano Refugio.
So, my.
I'm the only one who's pronounced that name tonight, by the way.
Yeah, I've purposely avoided saying it.
I can't. Yeah, it's hard. I have to read it every time. Go ahead.
You are a little pink here.
It's because I put a little rouge on. Because I'm. You know.
Well, I didn't hear you mention anything about sulfites.
I don't have a sulfite thing. I'm wearing makeup.
Look, do you see it on the side of his face? Turn your look towards the wall.
Yeah, yes. A little bit.
You're pretty pink. I didn't just not realize
I got into your makeup and I was, you know, having some fun.
Anyways, so I struggle a little bit with reviewing this because this isn't my normal cup of tea. So.
And you do drink tea. So
I do drink tea. So I really... Some things that I really like and that are the reason why I'm scoring it the way that I am. The first and the biggest reason is I think that they really captured the elegance of Pinot. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you do capture that, you're automatically boosted into the 90s because it just sets you apart. I'm trying to think if we've had a wine where you can taste how elegant it is and it's been in the 80s. I just think it really... you know you're drinking something nice. You know you're drinking something that's of a higher quality. So the elegance, and I really liked how Scott described it as the depth of flavor in such a light-bodied wine, how it could be so nuanced with such light notes is just very, very impressive. So I will be giving this 91 of my points.
Ooh, I can't use the Russian national anthem tonight.
Well, yeah. You could.
Very,
maybe the Canadian national.
Very well done. I would love to drink more from this winery. What was the other one that they compared it to?
They have a couple different ones, I think.
This is their budget offering. This is they've got a. Yeah. I would assume it's a Reserva line.
Something like this. That. Yeah. I don't know if they call it that, but yeah.
It's yeah.
This is single vineyard though. This, huh?
6 acres. Yeah. 6 acres.
That's the size we live. We own 6 acres.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, oh, what are we doing?
Yeah.
But much. I also...
We've got grass.
Not only do I want to drink more from this winery, but like from this immediate area.
Casablanca.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Casablanca.
Try other areas. Yep.
You're just looking at you.
You know what else comes from Casablanca Valley? Hmm. Santa Carolina.
Carolina. Well, this
what
is...
do you know?
Full of flavor.
Mm.
It's just... so well balanced. It starts with this little kiss, a tease of sweet blueberry, and then it goes to this savory fruit. The acidity, I don't know what the star of the show is, that acidity that just runs all the way through it, that's just so nice. Mm-hmm. And it's the same. It doesn't ever become oppressive. Or the tannins, mm. Or that just wonderful, light, delicate, I'm going to call it a delicate finish.
Mm.
But it has that nice, you talked about how it textures your mouth with the astringency of this wine.
True.
Surprising. This is a surprising wine for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I expected, but I didn't expect this. It's just so nice. I'm at a 90. 90 my points. If I would range this, I would say 89 to 91. I would love to try more
from
this maker.
Well, on to me, obviously. It's one of these things. It's a departure from the style that we're normally seeing. Mm-hmm. We love Chilean Pinots, but they aren't necessarily like this. This is a little more next level. Not necessarily in quality. I mean... it doesn't matter the style. You can have a great Pinot that's fruit forward, that's silky and elegant. That could be a great score too. That could be an excellent wine as well. This is just that different take. And we appreciate all of them. It's time and place, too. Mm-hmm. By the way, any food pairing ideas for this one?
I thought about that, too. It's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, this is a drinker, Pina, for me. I don't know that I would put this beside a meal.
Yeah.
It would be a mushroom souffle.
Or just like a nice, in a pasta platter.
Could be too.
You know, with more of a Mediterranean style, with like.
Like the Mediterranean diet?
Lemon, you know, maybe capers on a plate, that type thing. Not heavy with oils, but. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought I meant to ask that question too, because I was struggling to think of anything.
It's not your standard fare.
A broth-based soup, something along those lines. But I wouldn't put this beside a meaty dish.
No.
But like Scott was alluding to, it's such an unusual departure from what we normally see. We're very, very highly aware of this side of Pinot. We have seen it before. We've enjoyed it before. It's just hard to find because this isn't necessarily the wine it's going to sell 30,000 cases. That's why they make 1,300 cases.
Yeah.
This is the wine that they make 1,300 cases of it and they sell it. They don't make 30,000 because you can't sell 30,000 of this wine.
Well, they got 6 acres, so they can't make that many.
But even if you did, you can't sell mass quantities of this wine. It's a special wine. It's a unique wine. Very enjoyable. But it's a thinker wine. I am at 91 as well. My scoring, I could never put this in 89. I would say I'm going to do a 2-point spread. I agree with a 90 to 91, somewhere between there.
Yeah.
Hall of Fame, a wonderful departure from your standard fare. If you are that next level drinker that loves things that are interesting, that challenges you, this is the wine. If you want something for that, if you're having people over, you know, hey, COVID will be done someday. And you're going to have people over for a tasting and you want something that to challenge the group. This is wine. This is a wine under $30 that will challenge the group.
In what way do you mean challenge? You think this is difficult to drink?
Like a thinker?
I think it's a thinker, but I don't think it's difficult.
It's not pleasing to the novice palate. It is not. These are not flavors that someone would normally, a normal person that just drinks casually, would equate to things that are pleasurable.
You don't think that the nice acidity that runs through the length of this wine, I think people would like it.
No, this is not a mainstream wine. This is a wine where you have to travel many miles of the wine road before you get to the point where you enjoy this wine. You like that? Fuck that. Just
get that stick out of your ass, okay?
But no, it's true though.
I
and that's fine. But that's what the Fuente Riva Ranch is for. That's a great Pinot too, Scott. It's good.
I don't think this is as unapproachable as
It's not approachable for people. For the average person, you have to be into wine, but more often be into Pinots. This doesn't emulate anything in California. You have to be into some sort of French wines as well. And if you're talking about something that's a lot more French and is Pinot, you're really getting into that grouping where, man, you got to really be into wine and not into, I drink it out of a novelty glass wine. No. Wine. You have varietal specific glasses in your house. You drink this.
Can we share our scores of integrity?
Sure. Triple B, what did you have?
I put 88s for both of you all. I did a terrible job.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Scott, what did you say?
I had 90 for Rebecca, 91 for the wine guy.
Jesus Christ. Why do I even play? I had a 90 for you and an 89 for Becky.
He's so good at this.
Boom.
Wow.
Boom.
Excellent job.
Boom, boom, boom. Extending his lead.
Wow. Jeez. So impressive.
It's like spot
on. I am, yeah. Nevertheless, folks, 291s and 90, a Hall of Fame wine, a tip of the cap to Bodega Monsecano Refugio.
I think I'm going to go in retro, use my score of integrity to be the score breaker to take Argentinian Malbec out of the Hall of Fame.
Nobody asked you.
No, that's my right as the winner of the Scores of Integrity.
No, it isn't.
No, I'm not.
Because guess what? I rewrite the rules all the time.
What?
That's right.
Never heard you do that. That's true. Openly admit it.
So, folks, Scott and I have to get ready to drink Californian Cabernet. But nevertheless, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, the Triple B, and Beauregard, we are going to bid you adieu and see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.